What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
The Volume.
Just a reminder, you can catch us recording this podcast live on AMP. AMP is a new live radio app that lets you call in and chat with us in person while we're recording. Get the app on Apple's App Store and make sure you follow us at Jenkins and Jones to get notified when we go live. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It is Wednesday, May 31st, and we are talking basketball, shooty hoops on the Amazon AMP application. Thanks for following us. Thanks for tuning in live, or if you're listening on the other platforms, thanks for listening there. As always, Jenkins and Jones, hosted by LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, Bubba?
Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody, have a good one.
Produced by Jackson Safon.
He's talking to me.
Crickets. Put the crickets in.
Hey, tap in. You're gonna be very active on this episode, bro.
Come on, brother.
I'm the producer of this show. Hello.
I'm Guardy B, aka Mike.
Motherfucking Mike.
Jackson. It's Wednesday morning. Game was 2 nights ago. Just doing my usual check. I just got to make sure the show list is correct. Game 7 at home. In the Garden? How many points did the Boston Celtics win by, and how excited
they won by 40. You didn't know that. If you didn't realize that, then maybe we should do the pod a little later. You should go watch the game. They actually won by a lot. It's crazy.
Oh, that's awesome. That's crazy. Hold on. Wait a minute. I'm getting a report here from ESPN.
It's producing for you, folks.
Jackson, at what point in the game did you start to think about how much you wish that your job was not listening to Draymond Green and your friends at the Jenkins and Jones show making fun of you for being a Celtics fan?
I reconsidered life choices pretty early on. That's for sure. No, I mean, it's fine. It's whatever. I was bummed about it. Honestly, the fact that it was so ugly the whole game. Like, it wasn't, I think I would have felt much worse if it was the reverse
of the
Derrick White situation or something. Not even that dramatic. Like, they were in it at the end and then Jimmy Butler just ripped our hearts from our chests in the fourth quarter. Like, I think that would have been worse. That would have been more like existential sort of dread. This was just like, oh, right, of course. Of course the Celtics did all of this to come back to just completely shit the bed in game 7. Of course they did.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, the Tatum ankle injury 26 seconds in took a lot of air out of my sails. That's for sure.
Oh, man, bro. I was like, And he was hurt the entire game, too. There was no, you know, he never looked like himself for after that first 8 seconds of the game. But you know what?
Go ahead. I was going to say he had like 14 and 11. Like, you know, regardless of it, the shot was off. Him crashing the boards like that showed you that he was, you know, he laid that shit all out there on one fucking ankle.
Right, right. He was giving you what he could give you. You know what I mean? Which was grit and grind. You know what I mean? That's what. That's crazy. That's so.
It was a hater's delight because I love Tatum, and I was happy to be able to be like, oh, well, it's not a serious injury. You know, he'll, he'll be recovered, you know, probably by the time the finals are over. But it was like, so, you know, he's blame-free in this. You know what I mean? Like, he played as hard as he could on the ankle. It was just the entire Celtics organization and their fan base, you know? Like, clearly didn't have it. And there was no stress on my end. It was very clear. Vinny and I were jumping around the living room yelling, run these bums! Like, the entire second half. but I do. I have to say, I mean, it was crazy how good the atmosphere was. And you heard all the TNT guys were talking about it. Like, you know, all the ex players wanted to play. Everyone was saying it's like, man, we've been at finals games that didn't have this. Like, you could just see the energy was crazy from like an hour before tip off. And it's really impressive how the Celtics completely failed to tap into it. Like, if they had made one three-pointer in the first quarter, you know what I mean? Like, but it was like sitting on a diamond mine and just never brushing the dirt off the top of it or something. I mean, it was like, it's right there, and they literally did nothing for, like, the entire game to tap into that shit. The consistency was impressive. I was impressed by them.
Yeah, it's like, you know, going back to what we said when we gave our Game 7 previews, it was like, bro, I saw too much stupid in the fucking in that third quarter Game 6 for the Celtics to pick them in Game 7. And fucking Spoelstra saw that shit too when his eyes were wide as fuck when he was banging on the table like, let's run that shit back right now. Like, he knew those motherfuckers were food too. Like, I am not at all a fucking NBA championship level coach. Like, Spoelstra might be the best fucking coach doing it right now. I think Pop might pop back into the conversation now that he's got a fucking weapon of mass destruction coming his way. But bro, he had the same type of face that I have when I've been like, I'm a lifelong Madden 2K player. Like, that was the same face I had when a motherfucker got one over me and I knew they were going to be food the next game because I knew how to, you know, fucking neutralize whatever the fuck they were doing. And they spanked the motherfuckers by 20. Goddamn.
You knew it was over with when it was Jaylen Brown time. You know what I'm saying? When you got to rely on Jaylen Brown to, you know, to get you over the hump, G. You know what I mean? The king of shot selection, bro. Like, 90% of what he does is absolutely unnecessary. Like, Jaylen, do you need to do this? If he asked himself this question, he wouldn't make 9 out of the 10 decisions he makes on the basketball court. And that would be a great thing. You know what I mean? Like, it being Jaylen Brown time, if it, like, didn't involve him handling the basketball. You know what I mean? Like, Jaylen Brown would be maybe the best player in the world if it didn't involve the actual basketball being handled, dog. Like, 8 turnovers, so like, a couple of them just absolutely unforced. Like, he might as well have been butt naked in the gym just handling the ball, losing, like, a couple of them. Just nasty, bro. Just nasty decision-making, G.
I agree with everything you just said, but the sentence, this about to get a Supermax player would be a great basketball player if it wasn't for the basketball.
A guy that wants $60 million. Who'd be one of the best players in the world if it didn't involve that orange ball that is the most important part of the game? You know what I mean? Taking care of that, bro. You know what I mean? You want $60 million. And you like we were talking before this with Jackson. You know, he would make a great move and then lose the ball. Yet he'd make a great move and then he'd be like, Jaylen, but you forgot the one thing you can't forget. The basketball, brother. You know what I mean? You're not a wide receiver, my guy. You have to, you know, you have to handle the ball while making the move, Jaylen. That's important to the game, Mr. I won $60 million a year. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we ain't running post routes out here, bro.
You feel me? You know what I mean?
Call it all the time.
Great stutter step, man. But hey, the basketball is over there. Go get it, please. You know what I mean? Your feet are incredible.
And nobody's jamming him off the line, though. You know what I mean? He's breaking man press with zero fucking hesitation. Like, just straight down the fucking field. Yeah, it is crazy. Every great player has pluses and minuses to their game, but it's crazy to have dribbling be a minus on your game. Like, he's just got to improve his ability to dribble.
It was also just like a perfect storm of both unfortunate things and also like smart things by Spo. Like, the Tatum injury forcing Jaylen to be to do more ball handling than he normally would. Already bad start. And then I saw the stat that Spo had the Heat switch like 60% of their pick and rolls in this game. And in the first six games, he'd never done more than 50% in a game. And it's like, oh, he's so smart. Whether it was the plan going in or is an adjustment after Tatum rolls his ankle, either way, being like, these guys are not good ISO players, specifically that guy. Is not a good ISO player when you have a defense as locked in as the Heat. Jaylen Brown is a good ISO player against bad defense, whatever. But going against that defense, it's like, okay, make him make more than one dribble move, and it's going to probably not go that well. And to just make that adjustment combined with the Tatum injury, like all of the things sort of happening at once just resulted in the worst game I've seen from a second-team All-NBA player in a Game 7 in a minute.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. I have to say, like, I do think we have to give Joe Mazzulla some credit, as much as he's been an easy target to make fun of. But coming back from down 3-0, like, clearly the way he was managing the locker room had something to do with that. But he did, I thought, kind of fall straight into Spo's plans. By the way, the Heat extended that zone out, and the Celtics responded in the second half by putting in more shooters. You know what I mean? And it was like, that's what they want you to do. And then the Heat, like, obviously every defensive game plan has a weakness. They were really exposed on offensive rebounding, which once again, Jason Tatum's injury just happened to play into the way that the Heat drew it up. But they competed their ass off on the boards with the little dudes you're trying to guard the 3-point line and then get back and get a rebound. Like, you know, it's difficult to do. And I was very impressed by the way they covered up their own potential weak spots. But I didn't think the Celtics ultimately made much of an adjustment to that. You know what I mean? Like, you could have tried to do almost literally anything else, and they just kept bombing and missing. You know, it was hilarious, honestly.
They were mixing that defense up a lot, too, where, like, if Jaylen Brown's the primary ball handler and it goes from zone to man to zone in consecutive, you know, like, possessions, that motherfucker's not going to make the best decisions probably in that situation, you know? He's going to do exactly what Jaylen Brown does, you know what I'm saying? Like, regardless of the situation, I got this, you know what I mean? And so that was really smart. Also, like, we were talking about that zone is not extremely, like, bro, the middle is wide open, you know what I mean? Like, and when
it's
you
so extended,
and it's so attackable. I mean, like,
they're on
it's
the
so
line.
Attackable, bro.
Out with
you know what I mean?
On the line. Yeah.
So they're so attackable. They don't have size, and you bring more shooters rather than bringing somebody that can get in that paint and make a move and get to the bucket where there's no, you know, where it's, you know, or if they you know the zone collapses, you can get out to a shooter. Like, make shooting like the release point, not what you're trying to do.
Right.
Attack the fucking center of that zone. And it's just crazy, like, how, no, like, instead of, you know, attacking the mid center, we're just going to get more shooters and shoot from 30 feet instead of 25. You know what I mean? Like, when they extended the zone,
they just kept
crazy.
Trying to shoot from further and further over the top. Whereas it's like with the defense the Heat were playing, if they had made any attempt to get Bam into foul trouble, you know what I mean? In a consistent way, like,
you feel me?
What are the Heat going to? You saw when Bam came out of the game, it was like the rebounding was a real challenge.
Right.
I saw last two things I'll say, where they asked Mazzulla after the game if the team is too dependent on the 3-point shot, and he said no. And at which he's like,
he was pouting in that press conference.
Citing numbers about the 3-point attempts being the most important stat in the NBA today. And I think if you actually dove into the numbers, that's probably, like, objectively broad strokes true. But the problem, I think, with the Celtics, I'm not the only person to point this out. A lot of people have pointed it out. It's not about just getting volume threes up. It's about getting good threes up. If you,
quality
you can get 40 attempts that
they're getting
all quality threes, I'd shoot 70 a game if they were all quality
right
threes. But the Celtics were just like, especially when you get tighter and they're not falling, it's like, oh, press the – it feels easier because you're like, maybe you're not having to drive into the paint, having to challenge Bam. But, like, that's not – you don't just chuck to chuck. It needs to be a function of good offense. It doesn't inherently create good offense. Right. And then the other thing is which I think Mazzulla does deserve credit in a lot of ways, but the things he doesn't deserve credit for are, A, that, the just, like, volume shooting point blank, and, B – it doesn't, maybe this is on the players, maybe it's on the coach, I don't know. But it felt like in games 4, 5, and 6, maybe a part of it's a little bit of a Heat letdown, whatever. But the Celtics defense was ratcheted up 3 to 4 to 5x from the first three games.
Yes, mm-hmm, and they could
not,
get not a
feel that way in game seven from a pure effort standpoint.
Right.
The Heat shot making was crazy. Caleb Martin deserves every fucking flower
Jesus
in the country.
Yeah.
But, like, and they did all, the Heat played great. But the defensive, just the from an effort intensity level, so much lower in game seven. In game seven than the three games prior, which that was frustrating. But, you know.
I mean, go ahead.
I was going to say, so where did the Celtics go from here? Because fucking Jaylen's up for $290 million. We've got a lot of questions about that guy. And to be clear, I'm not someone who hates on anybody getting the bag. Get the bag. Like, bro, like, even if I don't think you're a good basketball player, get every fucking penny you can get. Even if I don't think that you know, $290 million is what a championship team should pay for you because you're going to eat up some cap and, you know, fuck that whole shit up. So where are we at with Jaylen and the Celtics right now, bro?
Jackson, no, I want Jackson. I mean, like, what do you want the Celtics to do, bro? Like, I mean, are they blowing it up?
Are we
built around Tatum?
First time I've been like, okay, I'm open to like the conversations about the trade, because up until this point, even
you were actively like well, after you're a clown if you talk about trading because
I thought that was
up
true
until this
for a while.
After the game, though, the trade machine he configured a couple different options. You know,
after the finals last year, where he looked terrible when Draymond Green was like, "I'm going to guard him and I'm going to make him go left every time," and he did exactly what he did in Game 7 against the Heat for like three straight games in the NBA Finals. Even after that, I was like, you know what? He's 25 years old. Tatum is 23 years old. Everyone relax. And I still sort of think that. Like, Jason Tatum finished his age 24 season. He's so young. The last time there was a player that young to win the NBA Finals was Dwayne Wade, I believe. So, like, best player on the team. So I'm not ready to push the panic button. I think this roster, like, with a couple tweaks here and there, even if you're still building around the two superstar wings, is capable of winning a championship. That being said, the new second apron, all this stuff penalizing teams with multiple, not just max, but super max contracts, is a real challenge to build a well-rounded roster around. So I certainly think they need to get a new coach. I think that fact that they looked pretty embarrassed in game seven makes the firing easier after it was, if they had won the series or if like Joe Mazzulla was earning some cred with the comeback.
Do you think they'll fire him?
I think it's probably 60-40. I think they will. I think they should. And then I think you can run it back with making some ancillary moves. Like, I think there's certainly ways to change. You can run it back with the same roster, and like, I wouldn't actually be mad. But like, there are some ways you can make some sort of around the edges move. Maybe it's finally time to package Smart and something for a more true point. I don't know. But I would be fine doing something like that. And I would also be fine with a select few types of trades for Jaylen Brown. I think Damian Lillard is one that people have talked about a lot, that he's 32 years old. He's not a young, small point guard. But like, if you have a chance to get Damian Lillard and pair him with Tatum, I think it's probably worth doing. I think Bradley Beal is one that I've seen thrown around. Someone said Paul George. I don't know if the Clippers are going to blow it up or make big changes, but like, I would do Paul George. And that's probably where like the list stops. So like, would I trade him for a select few people? Yes. Do I think they need to trade him? No.
I think with Go ahead.
No. Shit, I would've cut you off twice, y'all.
Go ahead, my G. Okay, cool.
I was gonna say, I think there's a couple points that came to light in this series for me. And one is there was always, you know, the whisperings of, hey man, are we sure Jason Tatum is the best player on this team? Jaylen Brown sure does carry them a lot. Dead all that shit. This team was never going to go any further than Jason Tatum would take them. I think the other point is that this is a Wings league. This has been a Wings league for fucking 10, 15 years now. But if you look at, you know, the championship teams, it's still basketball 101. You still need that wing big combination, right? You look at fucking Bron AD. You look at fucking, you know, Kawhi Duncan. You look at fucking, Steph Draymond, Draymond's 6'7", but in all functionality, he's a big. You look at fucking, you know, Bam and fucking Jimmy, who are in the finals. You look at, you know, Jamal and Jokic, who are in the finals. Mm-hmm. You still need that inside out combination in this league. Like for sure, it's a wings league. It's a guard driven league, but mm-hmm. you still need that inside out presence to go somewhere mm-hmm. in this league.
I think the thing with JB is like, I tweeted, I was like, he's out there playing 21, and that's how he plays basketball. We talked about how he looked like he played, like, we talk a lot of shit about Ja Morant, but Ja Morant, when we look at Ja Morant playing basketball, we like, Ja Morant learned how to play basketball by playing basketball. His feel is great. JB's feel is not good. His feel for the game is not good. He's good at making bad shots because he takes so many bad shots. You know, that's why you say he's good at that. He's a great, he deserved to be second team All NBA. You know what I mean? All-star caliber player for sure. But I think when it comes to winning chips and in big moments, it's just hard to play basketball with a guy that doesn't play basketball. Like, he's just out there just hooping. Not, you know, like when he, when, like we talked about this on a break, he's great at finishing when he's filling a wing spot, but when he's leading the break, he never passes. You know what I mean? Obvious what he's going to do. You know what I mean? Forcing a guy left being their Achilles heel, that's not difficult to do, and that's a big hole, you know what I'm saying, to have in your game for somebody that you have to pay him that amount of money and you need him to be good to the level that we need him to be good. You feel me? So I don't know, bro. Like, you know, this team is much better if they just work on their shot selection, not just taking the first three that comes to them. And that's what they do. The first open three, shoot it. No, my nigga. First good three. You know what I mean? You don't have to drive, give it to fucking Horford, halfway guarded, and he shoots it because he's somewhat open. That's not a good shot. You know what I mean? You can get that at any point in the offense. It's not. It's unnecessary. But I still think you need a guy, if you're looking to win chips, that doesn't have these, you know, blatant holes in their game where and just so predictable in what they do. When he's doing, when he's playing great, like against the Hawks, you know, early in the second series, people were saying he's had, his numbers were the best. Like, you know what I mean? Objectively, you couldn't, you know, deny that. He was playing great basketball. You know what I mean? But when it gets to, like, you're playing teams that are basketball, professional basketball teams that will send your ass left or put you in a position you don't want to be in.
It becomes about adjustments and then the adjustments.
Yeah, and he doesn't have those adjustments that can be made. He has one way of playing, and that's it. And it's not the most efficient way of playing, you know?
The last thing I'll say, because I know we've got a special guest coming on we got to get to in a minute, is, you know, where I had – to the extent that I had confidence picking the Heat, I was concerned about how they would bounce back from game six, which incredibly impressive the way they clearly did that. But if you just looked at the two like locker rooms after, the Heat were in disbelief, but their head coach was tweaking to get back on the court, right? And then, hey, man, it's graduation season. I'm in a lot of high school graduations and shit right now. That's what the Celtics locker room looked like. It looked like the post-graduation after party. Yeah. Jason Tatum's got his arms around Mazzulla. Everybody's grinning like, we fucking did it. And it was like, you just, at the end of the day, pro sports, the margins are so thin. The team that it can't wait to come out and kill you versus the team that is so happy they just pulled something off. You gotta lean on the Spo tweaker side of that.
I told you, bro. Jalen came to that motherfucking post game in his jersey. They was celebrating that motherfucker. They was popping bottles, dog. He ain't hopping the shower, put on his street clothes or nothing. They was in there throwing a party, dog.
He had on his Eastern Conference Game 7 hat.
We made it. Last thing before we bring on Liv is I want to just shout out the Amazon AMP chat. It has never been this active. Maybe a couple times more since we've been doing this show. Let me read you a few. Jackson Pack in the air, eyeballs. Jackson's a better man than all of us for showing up. Jackson showed up, very commendable. I'm glad he did. Way to stay 10 toes down. Where can I get the Jackson going home shirt? Put that man in the dirt. Put Jackson ass in the dirt. Expose him.
Are these people that know you like personally?
I love that. That makes it even better.
Shout out to
you're the fourth member. You're the fourth member, G. You know what I mean?
Our listeners love Jackson. They just don't like the Celtics. That's
for
all
sure.
That.
Oh, for I sure. And that's why they shout talk to shit because they love him.
Shout out the Amazon game chat.
Bro, speaking of shit talking, did y'all hear the story on why Duncan Robinson was talking shit to that Celtics crowd?
Oh. No.
They said some Celtics fan found out his number, put him in a chat with like 70 other Celtics fans after game six and were talking shit to him. So good for Duncan Robinson for getting this shit off right there, bro.
I kind of respect because
I know those Celtics fans saw that white man talking shit to him and they ain't know what slur to throw at that man. Shouts to Duncan Robinson for getting this shit off right there.
Snow Roach? Will that Snow get him?
Yeah, that's tough because Duncan Robinson is everything they aspire to.
Right. You feel me?
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boog. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my game. That's my game.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Angie's List is now Angie, your home for everything home. Angie doesn't just get your home projects done. Angie gets them done well. With 20 plus years of experience combined with new tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects easy. My wife and I own our house. We definitely have the home improvement bug. Been doing a lot of work on the house lately, and I will for sure be using Angie because instead of calling around, getting quotes from all these different places, like we just had turf put in the backyard, it took me 3 weeks just to get the quotes. We can pop our zip code and the project we want done into Angie, and boom, we got the quotes for the different contractors who can do the work right there.
With over 220,000 pros in our network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job well done.
Angie can help you get the best price for your project. Angie has projects that are priced up front and clearly lays out the cost before you buy. Angie has cost guides that will tell you what others have paid for similar projects, both nationally and in your area as well. With Angie, you can request quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps.
The pros in our network are locally based. The pros have been rated and reviewed by others in your area who have actually used their services.
In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the website, you can have Angie tackle your home service project from start to finish, or you can research and connect with local pros for your specific project. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Very excited to welcome on our volume teammate, the one and only Liv Moods. I think one of like two Nuggets fans with media personalities in the whole country. Liv, this is the season of Liv Moody. Congratulations to you and your Nuggets. Yeah. How excited are you for the finals?
I'm so excited. I've actually had a really cool sports year in general with TCU going to the national championship. Obviously, they got their asses kicked, yes, but still really cool. Like opportunities for content. I've been able to go to the games. It's been really, really fun. So yeah, us Nuggets fans are coming out of the woods here, and there's not many of us, but we're here for sure. We're here.
Okay, so first off, shouts to the blonde. I see you in your Beyonce era and shit. It's a good look.
Fire. Love it. Love
like, everyone's like, why would you change your whole identity before the finals, the first ever Denver Nuggets finals? I'm like, shit, does my hair have that much power? I really didn't. Yeah, we're switching it up.
But honestly, we were talking before we started recording. We were like, you and HP basketball are like the only fucking media folks who are like diehard Nuggets fans, it feels like.
Yes.
Right. And I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm speaking for myself and for the pod here. I think a lot of us doubted the Nuggets here. Yeah, my personal thing on the Nuggets was I was never a Joker non-believer, right? I thought he was top five in the world. After this postseason, I will not argue with anyone who says he's the best basketball player in the world. My concerns were, I don't know how you play him and MPJ, those, you know, so many minutes together without having a defensive presence there. And Aaron Gordon stepped the fuck up on the defensive end this postseason, right? So I have nothing but respect for the Nuggets. They have been the best team this postseason. So how does it feel as someone who has been believing in them from day one to finally have people kind of coming around on your team and seeing that these boys are really, really legit?
Yeah, I mean, it's been really fun, but, you know, don't get it twisted. They've been a mess, and I've been to the games, and I've been a fan for a long time. I was, like, young when one of my favorite players was Birdman. I thought he was, like, the coolest guy ever. White and tatted with the mohawk.
Yeah.
So I've seen this Nuggets team through a lot of different eras, and I think that it's never clicked. So they've always been like a decent team, right? But there hasn't ever been like a clicking moment. And honestly, I didn't even feel the click at the beginning of this season. I really didn't feel that way until post KCP Bruce Brown trade. And that was kind of when I started to go, okay, they've got something going here. And I'm not saying that whoever, you know, the people that got traded out were a part of the problem, although I think they maybe were a little bit. Oops.
I ain't gonna bring up the name, but I'm a big fan. Come on, Jeeva. Go ahead. Go ahead. Do your thing.
I won't name drop, but all I know is there was some chatter about, you know, kind of maybe a sense of, I don't want to say entitlement, but there's a lot of good players on this Nuggets mm-hmm. team. And unless you're willing to be selfless, mm-hmm. it's not going to work with everything. Like, there's so much talent on this roster. And so I don't want to play the blame game, because at the end of the day, there's a lot of different things that I don't know about, conversations that are being had, whatever. But I think this requires a certain level, like I said, of selflessness, because it's not one of those teams where I talked about this the other day, like Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, this isn't like a, you know, elite player that hopped from one team to the next to chase a ring. Like, they started from the ground mm-hmm. up. Like, they were stuck. I don't want to say stuck with each other, but you know what I mean? Yeah. They didn't choose this. You know, Jokic didn't jump ship and go somewhere else to try to win a championship. This is chemistry that's been building progressively over time, which I think is why they're so stinking good. I mean, they've had to work with what they've got. Jamal Murray, obviously, after an insane 2020 performance, got injured. They were forced to kind of figure things out without him. I don't even think MPJ has reached his ceiling yet. I really don't. I've always said he's great when he wants to be, but I don't even think that we've seen MPJ in his like full talent yet. So, but again, it requires him to be selfless. If he cared about chasing his own stats, we would probably not have a winning record. Mm-hmm. So I just think, post-trade midseason, I think there was a clicking moment, and that was when it really started to become like, wow, this team is great. So I don't blame people for not necessarily being, you know, huge fans of the Nuggets or watching the Nuggets, because I don't really feel like anything was super clicking until this year.
Yeah.
So now they can watch and pay attention.
I definitely realized what was going to happen when, was it like game two of the playoffs that Murray had 37 points, and it was like, and was like on the verge of tears for the whole post game interview, talking about coming back from being injured. And I was like, ah, fuck. Mm-hmm. Like, that's probably, the year it's going to be, you know?
I think that too. I mean, anytime they come back from an injury that serious too, you always worry about the potential of the rust and like, what is that going to look like when they return? I think Jamal Murray and Jokic are the best 1-2 punch in the league right now by a mile. And I think they've proven that this postseason.
Yeah.
It was interesting when Jamal Murray went out. I just felt like there was obviously a massive loss there, but there was still a lot of talent. It just, the chemistry wasn't there. And I think Jokic and Jamal have grown a lot together, not just individually. And that's been really cool to see. And I think that's half of the reason that they're doing so well right now.
Just a quick follow-up on that, because I think you're exactly right. But I heard an interview with Michael Malone where he was talking about how emotional the conversation between him and Murray were after he tore his ACL, that he was like, Coach, are you – he asked him, he's like, Coach, are you guys going to trade me? And he's like, no. Like, this is our group. We're going to keep this group together. You're going to get better. And then, you know, last year that he basically had been cleared to come back in the playoffs, but he just didn't feel comfortable – and then Malone was like, I want you to feel comfortable. We're not trying to blow your confidence up. Like, that is – there's not a lot of franchises left in the NBA that are sticking with the coach through that and sticking with the player through that. You know what I mean? And I think –
there's clearly trust there. There's a lot of trust in this organization, and I think that is massive. I just think we're seeing with this Nuggets team that it's really not just about talent and skill. I mean, as much as we like to think that it is, there's so much more to it. And this Nuggets team, I just feel like they have all the right pieces to the puzzle right now. That being said, could they still blow it? Of course, this is sports. And I'm a Broncos fan, so I never let myself get excited about a damn thing. But that being said, right. They do have what it takes. So, you know, I'm excited, but I'm like, I'm not going to get too ahead.
You're not
of myself,
talking shit sure. yet. I respect that. Yeah.
Oh, well, I am a little. But that's all right.
Mike Malone has his team thinking they're underdogs.
And Michael Malone. Don't Michael call him Mike.
How dare you?
I don't know.
Is he a
Jenkins and Jones listener? If he's listening, if you're listening out there, Michael Malone has his team thinking they're underdogs. You feel what I'm saying? And it seems like the fans have tapped in. Y'all been the best team, you know, in the West all year. Do y'all feel like that? Even though, you know, y'all have been dominant
this year? One seed is
you feel
favorite,
me? Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I don't know where the hell this underdog shit came from. They've been the number one team in the Western Conference all year long. Right. But what I think what it boils down to is, and this is a conversation we've had a million times, but it's the way that the media speaks about this team. It's like, good job, Nuggets. All right, is LeBron really retiring? It's like, what the hell? Like, that's not what the conversation should be about. And so I feel like there's a lot of people that just haven't felt like they can connect to this Nuggets team because there's no appreciation for what they're doing. I think it's like, we're kind of in this world of basketball right now where it's like, okay, you've got the watchers that really love basketball and you have the watchers that love entertainment.
Yeah.
If you want entertainment, turn on Bravo TV or E! News. I don't know what to tell you. This is basketball. And so right now I feel like this Nuggets team is just playing a really good game of ball and they don't have the theatrics and the dramatics. So there's not a lot to talk about. So we're not talking about them a ton. And because of that, I think they feel overlooked. And maybe that's where the underdog mentality came from. I think it's more about being overlooked than it is about being underestimated. Mm-hmm. Although I do think there probably was some underestimation there. And I think that probably stemmed from Jokic conversations because there were a large sum of people that were like, you know, kind of waving off what he's been doing and how great he truly is. Mm-hmm. So
it was a nasty. Yeah, The whole conversation this year was nasty too. And I understand them being like, all right, fuck this. You know,
I think it's more just like they've been good, but it's like it hasn't been enough. And finally it's enough. And now people are like, whoa. You know, I that's the comment that everyone says. I didn't even know that Nuggets fans were a thing. I'm like, yeah, we're here. We're just typically, we don't have much to talk about most times, so we're pretty silent. But so yeah, I personally, I've never viewed this team as an underdog. Uh-huh. I mean, I don't know how you say a number one seed is an underdog by any. I think we're actually talking about, like, we're forgetting that this is an 8 seed versus a 1 seed in the finals.
Right.
Like, this is a very, we're kind of talking about it like, they're on an even playing field right now, and I don't understand it. Now, I'm not discrediting an 8 seed because they're a very dangerous one. But, yeah, it's weird. It's just how we speak. I think it's just how people speak about this Nuggets team that probably feels a little, you know, undervalued, if you will. Mm-hmm. But I've never viewed them that way. I don't know where that shit comes from.
Yeah. To your point about the Heat being an 8 seed, they're unlike any 8 seed we've ever seen. And I think they are the best testament so far to how valuable the play-in is, because no team has missed, you know, cumulatively more games from their players, from their roster, than the Heat did, right? And so, you know, they would have been out of the playoffs, if we just, you know, stuck to the regular 8 and 8 seed shit. But, you know, they played their way in, and here they are fucking, you know, knocking off everybody in the East and going up against the Nuggets. So yeah, I mean, I think that's interesting to see. You know, something else that's interesting to me is I saw a stat on Jokic. I think the belief that Jokic is food on defense is so fucking overblown. For one, I think he's a solid defender. And for two, I saw a stat that showed that he becomes a better rim defender in each quarter. And what that shows me is that is a smart basketball player who knows his physical limitations, is picking his spots, and because he doesn't want to foul out early, and then late in the game he's letting it fly, and he's just you know holding his shit down. So yeah, man, it's really been an interesting development for the Nuggets this postseason. Like you said, a lot of people didn't believe in them, but I think a lot of us were like, okay, we know that y'all are regular season monsters. Show us in the postseason. They for sure showed us this postseason.
Correct. Prove yourself. Right. Everyone's been waiting for the moment to go, we know Jokic is good. We know Murray is good. Prove it. We live in a ring culture. It is what it is. If you don't have a championship, all of a sudden it's like, well, you might be good, but you're not that good. Mm-hmm. It's like, so we've been waiting for this moment for them to prove that they can do what they've been doing on the biggest stage possible. And so, yeah, I mean, it's so funny. I think I've cracked the code on Nikola Jokic, because you talk about how people like talk about how he doesn't play defense, which as a fan, I can tell you, Sometimes I wish he'd step it up a little bit, and I'm usually coaching him from the living room, telling him to get his shit together. I will tell you, I think what people get so frustrated about with Jokic is that he appears to play lazy basketball, but what he does is so effortless that I think people are like, what in God's green earth, how are you able to do what you do? Because he's just kind of got this like, he reminds me of like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. Like, oh my God. He got this like, free, like nonchalant, like whatever. And that's not discrediting how talented he is, but I think it rubs people sideways because it's like, you've got guys that are just hustling and they're aggressive. A Bruce Brown gets on the court. The effort is there. The consistency is there. And Jokic is just like, you know, whenever I'm feeling it, except he's balling on everybody. Right. And I think it's like, okay, we've never seen somebody this good that's kind of like not, how do I say this? He doesn't have the NBA look. Okay, he really doesn't. He's
an optical illusion. Like, yeah, he looks like a big dopey white guy.
Seriously.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Like, I mean, truly, if you did not pay attention to the NBA and you saw him walking the streets, like, I highly doubt you would go. You see people and you're like, that's an athlete. They've got that
best player in the world. Right.
He's a tall guy that works at Starbucks. That's what we'd say. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? So,
and I think it drives people nuts. Like, yeah. I really do. I think it's frustrating to see somebody so good at what they do. And it looks like they don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the guy that they've had to deliver him trophies in Serbia because he's out there like riding horses on wagons.
Respect.
And like chilling with his people. But I think it's so different from what we've seen that he's not a media personality. He doesn't have social media.
He's still a great interview. He's in a
great interview. Yeah.
He is. Oh, yeah. He really is. He's actually so funny. And part of me wishes that he had an Instagram or social media because he kind of has that Giannis like dad jokeness
totally.
In his interviews.
Yeah.
And it's so fun to watch. But yeah, I just think that he's such a rare species in this league that I think it just drives people nuts because he's just so he's very untraditional.
Yeah. All right.
And I think that is really hard for people.
I know you got to get out of here, but I have one last question.
I got one question too.
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead. You guys can
Ask me. All right. My question is, you know, you were into gambling. Obviously, sports betting is like completely taken over professional sports. You're into TCU, historic, memorable, unbelievable season getting the national championship game. You're a Nuggets fan. Nuggets are the We Believe one seed, the best basketball player in the world, the favorites going to the finals. It's a two-part question. Number one, are you drunk with power? And number two, what other things do you like so that I can invest in them early?
Drunk with power. Listen, something that I'm very proud of is I'll stay humble. I'll talk my shit, but I like to, you know, I like to feel it out a little bit. I'm obviously so, so excited for what the Nuggets have done. I think what they've done is great, and to be a part of it and to be a fan of it, that plus TCU and the Avs last year. So like, I've had a really cool little year here of sports and being, I definitely feel like right now on Twitter, I've got some power. Sure. You know, it's so funny because people will tweet at me like I'm on the damn team.
Of course.
Like they'll be like, nice win, Liv Moose. I'm like, what? I'm on my ass drinking an espresso martini. What are you talking about?
Way to rotate on defense, Liv Moose.
Right. Or they'll tweet at me, tough loss, Liv, tough loss. I'm like, yeah, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, so I definitely feel like there's a level of power that I have for sure because the Nuggets are just a rare fan base right now. And you know, people have already followed me prior to this. And now, you know, they're like, oh, Nuggets, that's kind of cool. And again, they act like I'm suited up. So I'll take it. Yeah. I'm fine with that. Like, I'll roll with it and whatever. But yeah, there's a little bit of power there. And honestly, I don't know what I did. Like, I don't know why the sports gods are blessing me this way. But I feel like it's like that moment where you're like, okay, shit's about to hit the fan at some point. It's not going to be this good for this long. Something's going south. So
smart.
I'm remaining humble for now. But yeah, it's been awesome.
We talked about the Heat being an AC. I'm wondering how nervous are you? Like with Spo being the coach and, you know, y'all look like a machine, you know, just running like a train running through people. You feel me? But Spo's really good at like finding a weakness in the machine and like mucking it up. You know what I mean? Fucking up some of the cogs in the engine or whatever, you know? How nervous are you facing, you know, this Heat team with the Nuggets team that is obviously way better? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm nervous. I mean, I'm obviously, like I said, I can talk shit with the rest of them, but I'm fully aware that this is a very dangerous Miami Heat team, and Jimmy Butler is very dangerous. But I think we've kind of had a little bit of a break from the Nuggets, and I think people are starting to forget just how great fundamentally they are across the board.
They don't take bad shots. They don't take bad shots.
They don't. And God bless Bam Adebayo, but he's not doing shit to stop Jokic. I'm just sorry.
Big old fact there. You feel me?
Love Bam Adebayo, but he's not going to do shit. I think that we've got MPJ, who's got a size advantage in terms of the game that he's going to play. Aaron Gordon on Jimmy Butler, I actually love it. And I think that Aaron Gordon, he kind of is a little selective about when he wants to step up and be aggressive. But if he does, I feel great about that. And Jamal Murray, to me, can hang with a Jimmy Butler. I think that offensively, it's going to be just this three game. Miami, obviously, really, really great from the three in that last game against the Celtics. Will they be that great again? I don't know. After the All-Star break, this Denver Nuggets defense was top five in three-point defense.
Great guard defenders.
Yeah, so I'm nervous because it's sports and anything can happen. But I really am so confident in what the Nuggets not just have done right now, but they've done it all year. So to me, it's like, just show up and play your game. Like, it is working. They're 12-3 in the postseason right now. Like, what they're doing is obviously working. So right now I'm going Nuggets in five. I think that the Nuggets and Jason Timpf and I actually talked about this. He said, and I agreed with him, that the Nuggets are talented enough to sweep this Miami Heat team, but it feels disrespectful to say that because of what the Heat have been doing. Like, when you think sweep, you're like, there's a huge, you know, disadvantage here, and that's not what we're working with. But this Nuggets team is just, they're smart basketball players, and I think that's going to be their advantage. I do think the one thing the Heat has right now, for sure, is a coaching advantage, but everything else, I lean Nuggets here. So I'm going to say Nuggets in five is what I like. But of course, I'm nervous because shit hits the fan all the time. So who knows? But I'm pumped. I'm ready. I'm ready for some damn basketball. It's only been what, like
9 days? You got a 9-day layoff since for the Nuggets, though. That's tough. All right.
I'm ready to go.
Liv, thank you so much for hopping on with us.
Appreciate you.
We'll have to have you on if things go your guys' way. Or if they don't.
Hey. We're here for that, too.
We put that on Jack. We only talk shit to Jack.
You guys should fly out to Denver and we can go to the parade.
Okay. We can tap in.
Sports party.
We can tap Logan. In.
Logan, you hear that?
That's right, Logan. Tap in.
That's not Logan.
Bye, guys. Bye,
Liv.
Thank you. Appreciate you, Liv.
Yeah, fly us out to Denver, bro. Weed is legal out there and all that shit.
My people out legal there, too.
Weed, craft beer is my type of party,
kick it with the fam a little bit. You feel me?
Yeah. I always had a great time in Denver. You know what I mean? I could go meet my second, third, and fourth ever Nuggets fans I've ever met if we get out to Denver. So I fuck with it. Liv Moves being number one. Y'all know I got a little homie on the on that team, bro. They got a parade. I might have to pull up to it.
Facts.
One of my favorite nights ever of my life was we were covering the NCAA track finals the night that Jordan Bell won the title with the Warriors. And so we were just on the a big group FaceTime with a bunch of other Poly people. And it's like, this is the craziest shit I ever seen in my life. So I would be very down to get out there for the championship parade for sure. All right. Well, that was obviously most of our preview, but quickly, what are your guys' thoughts? We got game one tomorrow. She actually called my prediction exactly. I got Nuggets in five. I have nothing but respect for Spo. I have nothing but respect for the way the Heat have played. But both X's and O's, I mean, it's like heart and brain. It all aligned. I just don't see them having it in them to really push the Nuggets in this series. I think the games will be fun, but I think it'll be a decisive Nuggets series win.
I got Nuggets in six. I remember when we were doing some playoff previews, and I was like, you know, there's a six-game series where you have no doubt in mind the team's going to win. And John's like, when the fuck does that happen? I was like, bro, we just saw that with the Nuggets in Phoenix this postseason, right? I think it's going to be one of those series where I think Miami gets two, but there's no doubt in our minds that, you know, the Nuggets are the better team and the Nuggets are going to win the series. It just feels so disrespectful picking against any team in this series, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, both of these teams have been fucking remarkable this postseason.
I find it hard to see, you know, spoiling them not get two. It's difficult. I mean, it could very well be a sweep. I think the Nuggets are that much better talent-wise, and I think this is the first professional basketball team from the players to the coach that they faced You know what I mean? They're not going to make the dumb mistakes that the Heat take advantage of or have taken advantage of in the last few series. And they got, you know, when like she brought up, like, you know Murray and Jimmy, like, I think Murray got just as much dog in him as Jimmy does. You know what I mean? I think totally they can go dog for dog when it comes to
35 points per game in the Western Conference Finals.
You, like, fuck you mean? 26 point fourth quarter, something like whatever, the 23 point fourth quarter. Like, bro, he got it in him. So I don't know, man. You know, I see it. It could be a sweep, but I would say it's hard to see this Heat team not get two. So I would say 6-2. But like you said, just a decisive six game series.
Jackson. Are you still there, Jackson?
Hello.
How do you think the Celtics are going to do?
You got him right in the middle of a bite of a breakfast sandwich. He has sausage and grape jelly coming off his mouth right now.
You talking about yourself right now? What's going on?
That's what I'm about to do. As soon as I get off here, I'm making a breakfast sandwich.
You want
to
ask me, Mike, something disrespectful?
I was just saying, how are the Celtics going to do in the NBA Finals? Trying to win Banner 18. Trying to win their second championship since 1986. How do you think it's going to go? All right, that's all the time we got. We'll have to get to Josh Hart's tweet maybe on Saturday.
Yeah.
Because there's plenty to talk about there.
Silly Billy Boys. Hey, but I think me and Tyler talked about that in the pod prior. You know what I mean? I've had my experiences. I can speak to.
I have thoughts. All right.
I have thoughts too. We'll delicious is one of them. But let's go on to the.
if you tuned in to hear Jackson do his penance for being a Celtics fan, I hope that was everything you were looking for. We'll see you all in a couple days. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Are you looking to build this year? If so, there is no better time than right now to start planning and to get your spot on the construction schedule. If you need a garage, a stall barn, a storage for vehicles, RV, boat, collectibles, or even a shop for your farm, hobbies, or car restoration projects, visit MortonBuildings.com and start your construction process. With superior materials, craftsmanship, best-in-class warranty, Morton Buildings are made to last for generations. At Morton, the difference is in the details. From their cutting-edge innovations to their craftsmen in the field, they are dedicated to surpassing expectations. Their legacy of excellence spans more than 120 years, and Morton Buildings is 100% employee-owned with more than 250,000 satisfied customers. That means they're the industry leader you can trust. When you choose Morton, you'll experience quality at every step of the building process, starting before the walls even go up. Visit MortonBuildings.com to get started today.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You've probably heard a lot about electrified vehicles lately. Well, Toyota has electrified options for every lifestyle. We've got hybrids, no plug needed.
All right, let's go.
But we also have plug-in hybrids, if that's your thing. You can even go 100% electric in the Toyota bZ4X. With so many options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified, diversified. Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.